by reiterating pre-war views, including Dixie righteousness and black incapacity for self-government, the SBC pitched a popular tent. In Rebuilding Zion, Daniel Stowell concluded that the speedy restoration of Southern denominational institutions and religious newspapers gave Confederate Christians a distinct advantage over Northern missionaries who came South seeking Unionists and penitent rebels. Southern ministers preached a different version of God's purposes in the war, and once denominational mechanisms were again in working order, Southern churches began to receive thousands of new members. Denominational periodicals zealously guarded against laxity among Southern Christians and mercilessly attacked Northern denominations and their missionaries. By the 1870s, according to Stowell, Southern churches were virtually bereft of black members, and many of those members had joined Northern biracial denominations. Although they continually voiced their commitment to black evangelization, Southern Baptists refused to allow blacks the full privileges of membership. The ultimate irony is that separate, black-controlled Baptist congregations thrived, providing training grounds for self-government, through which black Baptists attained an equal or greater depth of religious and political commitment that was to serve them well in the civil rights struggle a century later. Not surprisingly, the post-bellum legacies of white Southern separatism and ecclesiastical warfare all but ruled out a reunion with Northern Baptists. For the SBC, sectional feeling and theology blended into a sense of holy separation, a commitment to remain free of Northern contamination because Southern religion was more virtuous and biblically sound. One North Carolinian put matters bluntly in 1899, "We are a different people, a different blood, a different climate, a different character, different customs, and we have largely a different work to do in this world." By the late 19th century, according to Miller, Stout, and Wilson, ministers with the Southern Baptist Convention controlled much of the religious life of their region. They had grown in numbers after the war, and despite the individual poverty of many congregations, by sheer numbers they had consolidated a hegemonic position within the South. A growing racial consensus among whites North and South allowed Southern whites to manage their own race relations, and Southern Baptists participated fully in mythologizing the lost cause. Southern Baptist ministers were now leading cultural figures throughout the South. After it became clear that Baptists could not reunite nationally, the two camps did manage to agree on who would operate where. The Southern Baptist Convention, increasingly expansion-minded, got its requisite franchise, first to control missionary work in the South, then after an 1894 agreement to proselytize in the West. In 1895, the separate all-black National Baptist Convention, ultimately to become the nation's second-largest Baptist denomination, was organized as the culmination of 3 decades of work toward self-government. During this same period, while other large denominations lost members to Pentecostal and holiness sects, the SBC did not. Predominantly rural, lost cause dedicated, unsophisticated, revivalist, and evangelical, but not yet fundamentalist, the turn of the century SBC gained from populist and revivalist currents. Membership in convention-affiliated churches reached just over 1 million in the early 1870s, rising to nearly 2 million in 1910 and 3 million by 1920. One observer noted that while to this day there are Evangelical Presbyterian denominations, EPC, an Evangelical Methodist denomination, EMC, and 2 Evangelical Lutheran denominations, ELCA, EL Synod, there is no Evangelical Baptist Church. Beginning during this era, 1890 to 1910, Southern Baptists made the term redundant. With little to dilute its appeal, the SBC consolidated strength in the ex-Confederacy, aided by its post-war role as a bulwark of sectional identity and its unique mixture of biblical conservatism and revivalism. Between 1870 and 1916, according to the New Historical Atlas of Religion in America, the number of counties in Virginia, Kentucky, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and Texas in which Baptists of all kinds predominated over any other denomination doubled or tripled. More than half of the counties marked as having Methodist or Presbyterian margins in 1870 were converted, and by World War I, only a few ex-Confederate states retained significant clumps of Methodist counties. By 1910, as revivals filled SBC pews, some 40% of white Southern churchgoers and 60% of black Southern churchgoers were Baptists, for a total of some 5 million. The Southern Baptist Convention became the nation's largest Protestant denomination, while the National Baptist Convention took pride in identifying itself as the largest black religious organization in the world. However, big as the SBC had become, it was still the church of the plain folk, country South. Some 80% of Baptist church members were farmers, 35% of them tenants, and as late as the 1920s, some 86% of the SBC-affiliated churches stood in rural areas. Of congregations with meeting houses, 85% met in cabin-like one-room structures. Substantial SBC congregations were uncommon outside city limits.